Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast today. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And before we go into the Word of the Lord, I would like to ask the Lord to touch you right now. Whatever your point of need is, God's grace, His love is everlasting. He cares for His creation. He cares for you in an individual way. The scripture tells us He has graven us on the palms of His hands. And so, Father, as we come nigh to You, we know, as You promised in Your scripture, You will draw nigh to us. And in these few moments together, we pray that the presence of God, the anointing of God, will do what no human agency, no words, no actions, Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that You will show Yourself strong in behalf of Your beloved. You will bear Your holy arm in their behalf. And, Father, they will see answers to prayers. They will see strongholds be broken. They will see opposition and walls of hindrance to come down. And Father, that You will make the way straight before their feet. Father, I thank You for a renewal in their inner man. I thank You for clarity in their thought. I thank You for purpose and resolve. Lord, that which You're speaking to their heart, give them the grace and the strength and the courage to say, yes, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Father, we release that operation of faith and hope and love in their hearts, that they know that You are working and moving in their lives, that You are doing a work. You're going to perfect it. You will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. And we honor and thank You and praise You for it. Amen and amen. I'd like to begin sharing a message entitled, Ask What You Will. And in the days in which we are now living, God is dealing with us as individuals. He's working in very refined ways. I mean, He has always, ever since we came to know Him, we could say each of us in our personal lives, He's always dealt graciously with us. And He's gone on from lesson to lesson and understanding to understanding and revelation to revelation at a point where we could hear it, we could bear it. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, I have many things I'd like to tell you, but you're not able to bear it now. In other words, in order for us to receive truth, we have to be in our inner person, our heart, in a disposition that we can actually hear it in order to receive it and understand it and act on it. And so God is dealing in individual ways with His people. He's dealing with His church. He's dealing with the body of Christ in these days as never before, because we are living in the end times, beloved, and the return of Jesus draws nigh. And God's grace is always sufficient for any and all who come to Him. Regardless of where you find yourself today, God's grace is sufficient. However, He is requiring that all who serve Him do so with a whole heart. Back in the 70s, there was a little chorus we used to sing, All He wants is you, no one else will do, not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All He wants is you. That's the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift we can give to the Lord is our bodies, a living sacrifice, a surrendered heart, a yielded will. This is all well-pleasing in His sight. In the beginning, God created man in His own image. He created man with free will, free to choose to do evil or good, to obey God's word or to disobey. And Adam and Eve, in their innocent or unfallen state, knew neither good nor evil, and they were neither holy nor sinful. Think about that. They were simply innocent and unfallen. And it wasn't until their fall that there was a need for holiness. Holiness that we must require, without which no man shall see the Lord. In the second chapter of Genesis, we see that man had to choose whether or not he would believe God's word or the lying statements of Satan. What do we see in Genesis, the third chapter? Satan is saying, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Verses 4 and 5. And isn't that he always takes some portion of truth? Because, you know, he was telling the truth. If you eat of this knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will know good and evil. But before he said that, he said, "You shall be as gods," he was enticing them. He was encouraging them to think that by disobeying God, somehow they would be more, perhaps in greater fellowship with God. They would be as gods, in a different and superior state than that which they were already, which they had found themselves. And so Satan always does that. He takes a truth, but he colors it. And indeed, their eyes were open. They did know good and evil. And we've been eating of that bitter fruit of the knowledge of good and evil since that day. And so man, because of their choice, their free will, it says Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived, but he chose to disobey. Our first parents chose to believe Satan instead of believing God. Satan's purpose was to populate the earth with a fallen creation, and he certainly succeeded. The failure of man brought terrible consequences on the whole earth and the human race from that time to this present hour in which we are living. In Genesis, the third chapter, verses 14 through 19, we see the consequences of man's disobedience to God. What do we see there? God's judgment on Satan, the judgment of the woman, the judgment on the earth, and the judgment on man. However, in that 15th verse of the third chapter, Genesis 3:15, God also made a wonderful promise. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to Satan, "and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14, we find these words: "Since we, God's children, are human beings, made of flesh and blood, he became flesh and blood too, by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and in dying, break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in that way could he deliver those who, through fear of death, have been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread." We've been told by Jesus to abide in him, and we're to let his words abide in us. This is something he told us to do. So this is a continual challenge of our willingness to do that and our desire to walk in obedience to the Lord. But today, Satan has not stopped his efforts. He hates God and he hates man with an eternal hatred. And in the days in which we are now living, there's a proliferation of false teaching, religious voices around the world saying, you know, you don't have to take God's word seriously. Well, there's certainly some marvelous truths in it, but we need to make it relevant for today's world. That was for those ancient cultures and ancient nations of the Middle East. Now we have advanced and we need to apply it to our current situation. They do all kinds of, they make all kinds of statements. You don't have to rightly know the Word of God. You don't have to understand through the Holy Spirit what God is saying, and you don't have to obey what God has said. Again, what is this? It's just couched in other terms. It's the big lie from the pit of hell. And sometimes the battle is so great. Sometimes the sickness is so severe. Sometimes these circumstances are so heart-rendering that we really can't hear what God is saying because of that anguish. And that is why it's so important to stay in the Bible and to be part of a church and part of a ministry who is Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and Bible-living. Beloved, there's strength and comfort in the fellowship of the saints. Unfortunately, and I know that's true in our area, there are many people who say they're Christians, and when you ask, well, where do you go to church? Oh, well, I don't go to church. And they have, you know, various reasons, but basically they're in disobedience because the word tells us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, so much more so as the day approaches. The darker it gets, beloved, the more we need one another. And it doesn't matter. Some of you listening, you may be in that group. You may not be going to church, not because there's not one available or because of some physical sickness or disability, but because you've been hurt, you've been offended, and you feel you can just, you know, serve God on your own and you don't need the fellowship of the saints. Well, as I say, this is not my opinion. It's what the Word of God says. And I want to say to you today that God is not a God of slavery. He's a God of freedom, a freedom to choose to serve Him, freedom to worship Him and love Him, freedom to obey Him, freedom to ask Him to supply all of your needs. God wants to see you walk in the glorious liberty of the manifested sons and daughters of God. All creation is groaning and waiting in travail, waiting for God's sons, His children, to stand up in an awareness and recognition of who they are, the power and authority and dominion that God has placed on them. His original desire for the creation of man has never changed. Beloved, by faith, with determination, believing what God says, we are going to walk in that place in these days. Praise God. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. My time has come to an end and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I love you. Pray for you daily and I ask for your prayers for me, for the ministry, for Jim and Debbie, our staff, and that we will enlarge our borders and do even greater things for the glory of God and to advance His kingdom. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.